Her cross carried, burnt. 1. The flowers, they are fallen, the fruit, it is rotten, but your grave is as pretty as ever. Each year I sing this better, 3 lines, 1 song. I incant, I must, and I will. I incant so as to give you purpose and form, so as to shape your expectations as the veil lifting falls, so as to let you deliberate while the orchard is full. I incant where once there was certainty, now there is context, and the alchemy of poetry has been broken by time. I incant where once there was certainty, now there is context, and the bloodied hand of surety binds the threshing stalk. I recant, and capable only of winnowing vision, although I harbour memories, it is doubt that I house. I recant, and I am pursued by restoration, although I am one of many, I cannot escape the noose. I incant, and this is a song of meaning, of position and place, of the greater we who are positioned, ever poised. I incant, and I am a positioned thing, neat between numbness and uncertain sense of surety, fluid and laterality, where each position lately is a start. X, where I relate to you. I incant, I recant, I incant and inflame. The flowers, they have fallen, the fruit, it is rotten, and while the nested, fattened pigeon king in daubs paints images, calls rococo, your grave is as pretty as ever. And each year I sing this better, many lines, but one song. I incant, and thus I bleed purpose, and it is with my blood, with my wit, that realities are made, and I have a reality, and I am a reality. Many lines, but one being, each year I sing myself better. Know then, this is how all life begins, from vital song to verse, from chorus to hearse, from the nodding head of coming dread to linearity and vice. And know that I, a constituent of myself, am mapped to X, Y in linear time, a combination of constituents and processes, angles, viewpoints and perspectives, a form of fruition, one which will produce and define the third vital line, the heartbeat, a pulse from which it is determined that we are emergent. But I am mind, then, just the simple processes of fruition. Mind too, then, that this is how all reality are made, from knowledge of boson, the moment in which it exists, from song and the chorus, laughter and note, from interstice to tangent, as creatures of venerable time, from fragment to meaning as we subsist line by line, from falsehood to pregnancy, rebirthing tense, from power to collapse and restaged events, from structure to chaos and paper bag rag, from always to instance and those memories we keep, yet in making there's melody and melody order, and it must be remembered we may always sing better. Yet, in this incantation, there exists a ferocity springing from our ability to resist. Thus, I am forced to restate my purpose, to sing to you of the essential from the same book of hymns, to sing of the tremolo and bass line, to sing to you of the taut forms and the sum of things. And so, from out of these notes of incantatory creation, comes electricity and the existential song of cut aluminium skin, that cigarette-swallowed ode to plenty, birthed by penury and sustained by contraband elation. And so, I know that you are now involved in all of this, this single song of understanding, and so, owlishly, beaks shifting through the crooked branches, hungry for the nexus, the sap and the glue, we must consider form. 2. A form, then, we are explicit, a ribald phallus out of which our ordinariness, our nature is phantasmagoria in C minor, our tense subterfuge in symbolism, out of which everything is ejaculated, out of which our gushing fountainhead of knowing is born. Of knowing, then, we are infected, yet though it is incurable, it is elusive. Its symptoms fade, and so too its congenial effects, certainty and the giving gift of voice. So, uncertain of knowledge for more than mere seconds, in aiming to fix position, I find that I have a differing thing become, that I am the oracle of old bastards, a sage whose wit and physicality is so immobile that my heart stops when yours starts. But, despite all this, there is wisdom in this didactic reverie, not least in what I do not yet realize that I have said, though I cannot place it, though I find instead that knowledge is twinned with understanding. So, what then of this, of understanding? It is the figurative jest, the geist of pointing thinkers of who knows who it was, who shot out all of that, whatever it was, when the only thing worth watching was the wine stain on the rug. It is the fragmented matrix of shifting tectonic plates, a collage of extreme rapidity. It is the stative, active whilst choosing its own beliefs. It is an open declaration, riveted, sealed with internalities, its nails made out of offbeat jazz. It is short, temporary, momentary, memory, transitory, 5 seconds for 5 shillings. It is the incantatory, a brief moment, respite at a Victorian peep show. So, birthed by knowing, it is the fabric that binds this music in the making. It is the hemline torn so as to give utterance to song. 3. Now we are those creatures of the Nexus, not what once we were. We are different to the others, and there is no turning back, no halt for the centrifuge. Here, there is event and location, and this is the glue of which we spoke. But there is no turning back, since form requires knowledge, which needs understanding, which fuels separation, which strengthens sensuality, which is self-selecting, and returns us to the harbor where we are that which we are, and we are what we have become. Identity and mode, meaning and device, shape and Saturnalia, the id spliced, a phantom universal to be shipped to shore. And so, since there is no returning home of all others, then consider all relations shifted. All of that which was is necessarily ended, and we through creation break the cycle and throw ourselves to the mercy of the sea. Of the other, then, know that from here on in we are their unknowable and they our unknown. Of ourselves, then, know that we make in ourselves reality and in tumult always breathe. Then, of singular example, to in specificity provide some retrospect, know that I too have lain in luxuries nested, lain wrapped in a Jewess's tresses, clasped hands in pirouettes of slender frame, magisterially spoken yours and others' names, gleamed wild understandings from the lips of laughing Katerina, found madnesses instilled in spasms, freshly birthing madnesses and spirits, and felt my feet burn on Maltese stone when the pain made me suddenly aware that having left the fortress, having seen creative instantiation, everything necessarily must change. This is why I am certain, why out of this device of framing it is clear that my being is relational, without existence except for you, that all of this is the strings plucked and sluice opened, that we are all components, ever self-selecting, torn from a mutated frame, a multiplying pan-reality, emergent and alike, disturbing, like rain, so sharp, burning, dried-out skin. This is why I am certain of myself and of you and of the turning of the page of the Nexus, which is truly but one thing. It is the one holy axiomatic God, and the single constituent fact which to this truth then belongs is that we create and reconstitute ourselves at the behest of bewitching time, only so as to avoid our dirty pall, which at every changed moment we, with heads raised, shivering, pass by, only so as to be in relation intertwined because we cannot exist alone. Thus I know that we are the one true God in tandem, heavenly cyclists, dripping irony and need, fattened on multiplicity and unable to be free. And thus, in this, through this, I know that I must nourish myself, I must drink from you, let myself be drunk from, and never leave the Nexus, and never let you go. And thus, accustomed now to a plump avian Priam, who raises his young in your limestone womb, thus it is that I am certain, the flowers, though they have fallen, and though your fruit is now barren, tending your grave, I find it as pretty as ever. And thus, forever have I chosen the active, then determined, to always myself remake, to, in creation's sinuous leathery hands, to always be reborn. 4. Such then is birth, regal, pitiful, aristocratic and submissive. Such then is birth, anxiety cut, loosed, a reordering of reality in which one more thirsty time and Odysseus is plucked from the budding tree, from which, once again, the barren seed fills the empty glass, out of which white, hot, or sullen is sated in the fixing of its form, after which the musicality of us, we who slake mindfulness and speakeasies and shebeens, shifts up, down, in a notable movement, through the half-diminished, from a minor to a major key, shifts abstract to concrete, momentarily both shape and shapeless, until thrashing I am is pulled to life, shifts and birthed then, anguished and flowering, a transmigration of the soul, perforated with ragged thoughtlessness. The mood music of our total nature decisively does drown us, and in a manner, and with a nervous disposition towards a mealy-mouthed method, that singularity of learning, in the first years of which knowledge disturbingly disperses time. This is why everything I know, and all that I recall, is mank and reimagined, and why the fallacy of knowing memory is set out of this thought torn. It is why my looking backwards to find my origin is the disputing act, that haunted search for formulae to give fractals endings and rainbows a location in which their pulse becomes a hearse. Ah, looking backward then is both the on-switch and the off, and, as we are creatures of mind as much as soul, since each birth shunts our origin midst to one further degree of separation, we are all in part pulsars, etching secondary moments in which we have something been with furious, tempestuous light into the fabric skin of space, into those nested Russian dolls of one another's fantasy. So then it is that while you undress me, you undress just another version of yourself. So then it is that while I lick your thighs, I send shivers down my spine. By way then of this constant repetition, dearth, death, birth, and returning, circumspect, performative, transubstantiative, identity downloaded, updated, patched, resplendent in spirit, mind, heart, and total amelioration, the deck chairs reinstated with mildly different motions and configuration, there is a guaranteed and eventual corruption. A corruption. Packet loss. The spirit turned to box of fags beneath the cushions of a shabby bar, one writ upon so drearily with overlaid instructive maps of text, wet from barrel dregs, dribbled from the mouths of overzealous nightfall children, spending time engorging hungry hands on the sugared spice of one another's milky teenage skin. A corruption like a clock which wildly counts down immobility and pace. A corruption which either way guarantees a masterpiece. A corruption stoked by simple fact. Either you fattened end, or on your next return wet, you too will touch the thoughts of violence. For there are only so many times you can to the same terrain return. For in each repeated instance the edges of reality will further fray. For in each repeated instance clarity, coldness, and the deliberative act own more the spur which is in your haunches planted. For in each repeated instance your laughing whinny saucily lilts closer towards horrific bleating bray. In this exact moment then, as words course through our splendid nervous systems, we have a choice of silence, a stultifying pleasure, of twitching our fingers and of knowing only our soft and gushing skin. This moment we own it with certainty, and we have but one thing to know. All acts are deliberative acts of violence, and violence wounds, and action, that dull note in the perfect symphony, is of the host its sole constituent, and thus exists clarity, and from its reinstantiation our realities too full of pinpricks, too frayed, too burnt upon the edges, too much worn, are punctured, and if such reality is torn, gored, we can only act out of need, out of breathlessness, and out of want. But from such uncertainty of cause comes the certainty of pity, and the actor lost for lines on an empty stage with an audience unknown has little choice but laughter fitful dry. And since we are wolfish tribal creatures all, since tribe is in and of itself a tapestry of matrices, since we, each with drunken maps, draw lines so as to divvy up the unasked for toll, forgiveness must be the price exacted for our languor, and it is indeed the price of peace. With this thought, whilst we balance this, the constructed, like seals on the tips of their noses balance bulls, we jostle on frizzy streets for position, hopeful like Victorian girls on whose elegant heads are balanced books. Yet we must remember too that flayed Christ, that poetic incarnation, the notion the creation does not fade. We must remind ourselves of phenomenological reset, and thus no more should we fearfully fuse, nor move in lockstep for want of stability. Coordination, after all, is not wisdom, nor is a fear of falling equal to the thrill of being burnt. We can and must, therefore, restore vigor to ourselves, powerfully disturbing matrices while you wait. We can and must, therefore, with jaunty step laugh as birdsong idles in its state of collapse. It is only then, in the moved world, in endings, despair, and heaviness, that optimism rooted can exploit. 5. Here, then, the matrix is itself the image seed, the one true node in which the believing can believe. Its position, like the 13th card, is by nature not itself yet, since that which it denotes, since its meaning is in place, in locating it, we must logically forgive all contradictions. Then, through this, and only then, we might balance the mechanistic, the heaviness and lightness in a barroom introduce, that mechanical reel implausibly carried on the centres of our noses. I must, however, at this juncture stop and pause and howl, forgive us all, for it is only in the wild remembrances of that which we might not have done that I find respite from the long sorrows of sucking milk from a dry and empty tit. Stop, I pause, and I howl, forgive us all. It is in forgiveness, then, that reality ebbs and meaning exists, that we and they, the bellowing priesthood, reside, and they are those who move and rove contrapunto to their time in forgiveness. Of it, from it, through it, the remote is moored, and such possibility is
a distancing from tradition, a distancing from infant-taught quasi-instinctive movements, those of maystruck spiders who brazenly husk fearfulness and criminality at labyrinthine walls. Forgive, forgive, and then this is how we will escape the logic of failed intimacy, how, in the origin of the liquefaction of tectonic historical linearity, how we will discover that final resting place in which axial time with axial moments coexists. Forgive, and then we can, with certainty, hear and see the centrifugal second the piano break enforced through lilting notes which sparks the singularity into that great and orgiastic knowledge, the final knowing of the fundamental founded in heavy notation, the body, the corpus, lupus, the sum of us, of everything, the I, the it, which exists in you, in I, and also in her. And who is she? She has only ever known as a pair of rounded eyes, eyes which fell out of a D.H. Lawrence novel, eyes which are always doubtful even in their doubt. It exists, she exists, I exist, and you exist. And so too does the breaking of all compulsion, the square peg and round hole, the corset and the poultice, the waxing, waning, wanting seed, and any faith we held in that which we deemed vital was, is, and was, and always will be vituperative. It exists, she exists, I exist. Exist and you exist, and we must, only so as the matrix autoerotic may be glad as much in the giving as it is in holding the receipt. I forgive you, even though I have lost the reasons why. 6. The focus shifts from the outer to that of the luminous, that liminality, that of the noumena, that which is only wrought within, to where madness is lucidity, and I, for the purposes of ventilation, shed skin, an act moreover done so as to avoid influx that fate of the co-opted. All this is therefore done so as to ensure, so as to make safe the romance and the self-reliance of my brawling, high-tanned, relentless inner eye. In quantum pockets, then, in an answer to the thus broken structure of this song, to the notion that the scaffold is undone, I button up my waistcoat and leer uncertainly also at your inner form, certain that it has the attributes of shape, and that confusion in the face of beauty is the face of beauty, is only the singularity of seeds of watermelon spat. Here now, then, I determine that the milling of wheat and the milling of the real are one and the same. Erasure in the grit between my teeth, the ecstatic punctuation of filial song, the moment that I realize the similarity between dandruff and entropy, and the truth that all data is drop-off. We are here, and I collect packets of meaning in which each constituent is both the lesser and the greater. Circularity is thus set. Here, then, is the active why, chosen and determined, the common thread, the vortice wrapped in dimensionality, the product of that Nosferatu who favours maths instead of blood. From this, through this, as we have before shouted, it is in this way that our realities are made. It is in this way that the Nanking rape, the sack of Rome, the Irish famine, Dresden blitz and London bombs were the opening of the sweetest of the most tender buds. It is in this way that humanity, notionally a scarecrow, dispenses fear. It is in this way that we can find ourselves finished, done, and our thoughts cast in wrought iron. 7. It is, at last, in this way and with no little subterfuge that I note the suffering of our dreams and the ad nauseam repetition of the thick sound of the starting gun. And although these unreal citadels, which we in our minds have sculpted in better days, echoed with the cold-drenched laughter of restorative decimation, they are now the sole preserve of the fine accoutrements of your doubt. Your doubt is the seed, plump to burst, to be ripped apart, ready for its shouldering frame to remain but broken shell, crushed under full-formed step. Yet, though we might with the mundane be infected, though we might be happier thus than as a bedfellow of the ceaseless din, it is the kernel crushed that carries meaning. And these are the words, indeed, of verity. Verity and refutation and lust. These were once the words of the Lord, and though it is a declamation that is dead, it is alive in deconstruction. In the beginning, it jitters, judders, shifts and shudders those melodic fetters of converse. There are, after all, reasons for retaliation. Then we come to finality, the shuddering behem, collapsing time, and in so doing, unplugging tinder from the spur. In beginning, at the end of everything, optimism strafes, stalks, skitters, slumbers, then lifts its gangly haunches only toward that gangway from which laughter loving looms. Then, this narrative of madness in another repetition of falling flowers, with further fattened, alterated alienation, clarifies its task to map the starry world with exodus. And, as we dreamily ourselves hurl, with patched-in vertigo, down the balustrades of the steep misshapen steps of a reimagined Hlavni Nadrazi, the one from my dreams made from goatskin. We have only one clear purpose, plurality and division, the memory plucked so as it can be reassembled, and so it goes. Binary agitation, the flowers though they have fallen, and your fruits though they are rotten, tending ardently. Wolfishly, those notional tokens of affection, tokens of death's renewal and integration, those things which are most bitter to me. I find your grave is as pretty as ever. Each year I sing this better. Many lines, your song. I incant, I must, and I will. 8. I incant. Dreams, dreams, only dreams. Dreams in which a woman cries while piano music plays, and it is soft and repetitive, a fifth without a third, but in its meekness it is shattering. Was it harder coming back to what all these things were, to learn these things differently? The thorns, they say this is blackthorn, and this a fig, and this the berry, the universal blanched for your delicate lips to touch. And, standing on the immensity of everything, she touches them, fruits, thorns, berries, and seeds. She holds them and caresses them. She watches them, idles with them, all of them, and the camera spins polycentric. She kneels, digging in the mud beneath her, pulling at a rope, at a fabric frame she can barely reach, and she cannot stop crying. We were poor, we were poor, we were poor. And it is in such opposition that this narrative was born, born as she was under a dome full of trees under siege, torn as she was from a tree of knowledge breached so that it might plausibly be believed, aware as she is that there was only one way in and one way out, and that it has always been sealed. Yet here her friends are close, sitting on tree stumps, drinking homemade beer. They watch her cry and say, "My God, she's crying, she's crying." They say this because she hasn't done anything for such a long time. She's crying. After that, she's some sort of a fable, a fabula. She's some sort of love, 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 only love. And lassest lash with a she, a narrative perhaps, a tale known then forgotten. She has done nothing, nothing for such a long time. She is unable to stop. We were poor. We were poor. We were poor. We were so, so poor. To the piano then we must return as the blossoms parachute their brief fertility from weightlessness to soil, and the bass line once again does stir. We were poor, we were poor, we were poor. Once, when I was just a little girl, I was 12 or maybe 13, and I'd snuck into someone else's stolen leather jacket. I knew it was stolen because I knew who they were. I stole it from out of the back of a pickup truck. And then I got in front, and I drove, and I drove, and I drove all the way to the edge of a pier, and I swam to the other side of the sea, on a sunny day, like, just to get to the other side, to lie about my age, to fight whatever I thought it could possibly, possibly be. I was wild. I did everything just to do something. And all the while the bass line, we were poor, we were poor, we were poor. And she, her individuality, your image, she moves against a mechanical army of infinite proportions, just so as to open a door, to open that door through which a dream becomes one of its own. She does all this, knowing it is a way of waiting for no particular reason, a way of waiting, one which results only in movement, faster of the material real, always towards that same inevitable defeat. Yet, even without instruction, like you, she knew all the rules immediately. Like you, she went one step too far, one beat too quick. But she leaves behind only an arroyo of matchsticks and spittle, glue and intention, and that vague, courageous certainty of children far too often touched. I click my fingers, and she is again that dreamy creature, a new neon incantation, bitter, sweet, that doleful agent of the otherwise. I lick my lips in my dreams. It is only for her the piano plays, all the more and no more, all the more and no more, and the bass line kicks in. We were poor. We were poor. We were so, so poor. And though the flowers, they have fallen, flowers and fruits all sorts in blossom, figs, berries and thorns forgotten, and though the fruit it has long since rotten, tending her grave it remains as pretty as ever. Each year I sing this better, many lines, but one song. I incant, I recant, I incant and inflame.